How's everybody doing tonight? Anybody here? Hello? Oh?
Ranger, you.
Is this thing on?
No.
Can't hear this. Big mouth. Oh my goodness. Turn that way down. Keep going. I don't want to hear me. Some preachers can't speak unless they can hear themselves. I'd rather not. Oh, we had a good day today. What a morning that was. We had a great time this morning with Dr. Berea. And it's always good to have him here. That man has got some knowledge. I don't know if you were here the last time he was here, but he went through a lot of creation and a lot of science. He's he's a science major in the, creation. I don't know, but he went through a lot of stuff, and my head was spinning. just a quick commercial. The pastor and I had a chance to go see a movie a couple months back called Is Genesis History? And it was a very, very intense and informative movie. And if you have Netflix, you can watch it this month. It's a really great testimony to God, what he's done, how he created this world. So if you have that opportunity on Netflix, why, I suggest you watch that. You'll have to watch it two or three times to get all the information that they go through, but it's very interesting. But we're not going to talk about Earth tonight. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about heaven. And we sang some songs this morning about heaven and about going there. And I asked some questions. So if you've ever been in one of my classes or times that I've taught, that this is not a time to sit back and listen, because I'm going to be asking some questions. I expect some response. I don't. If I wanted to hear myself, I could turn around and talk to the wall. I expect you guys to talk to me now and then. So let's go in the Lord a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given to us, the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, we've all heard about heaven since many of us, even before we were saved. And Lord, we want to take a look at what your word says about heaven and about going there and what's going to happen there and why there's a heaven. And Lord, you're just so have blessed us with the opportunity to even think about going there. And yet, Lord, we know that if we're in you, that we have the opportunity to go there when this time on earth is over. We pray now, Father, that you would bless us tonight, Lord, that you would set me aside. Lord, let your words speak, not me. Let your words be said and not mine. We pray that you would bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn over to Revelation. We're going to start there and bounce around quite a bit. Revelation chapter 22. That's in the back of the book, right? Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. It says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." He says, "Behold, I come quickly to give a reward." What is that reward? This is the question and answer period. I'm sorry? Crowns, yes, that's part of it. What else? Go ahead. That's a reward for me? There will be a judgment, yes. But what's going to be? What?
All rewards are not good.
Oh, no. Well, okay. Okay, yes. I will concede that fact, yes.
All rewards are not good. There are some rewards that you're going to get. You are rewarded for everything, some good and some bad. It says so on our sign. Oh, somebody else quickly. Yes. For what you've done for him and for what you've done for yourself. You're going to get rewarded for that. And that reward is going to be what? Burned up. That's not going to last. Only what's done for him will last. Somebody else. What other kinds of rewards? Good. Our salvation. Well, we have that now, correct? We do have that now. That's not something we're going to get. What other kind of rewards are we going to have? No, reward. Go ahead. We've got a mansion. Right? That's a reward. He's going to prepare a place for us. If it were not so, he would have told us. He's preparing a mansion for us. Some of us, our mansions are going to just be small. Others real big. But we're all going to have one. Someone else. What other kind of rewards are we going to have? I'm sorry? We're going to be with him. That's a great reward. Yes. He's going to wipe all our tears away. Yes, that is a reward. What else? Perfect body. Like I said this morning, everybody's going to be bald. I got two gentlemen here that really like that. But what else? How about this? You're going to get a chance to work. Huh? Yeah. We're going to have jobs. We're going to have things to do in heaven. Right? He says here that whatever your hand findeth to do, do all to the glory of God. We're going to be able to work for him there. That's going to be a reward. What else? Reunited. Yes, reunited with the other saints. All the saints that have gone before us. So there's going to be a lot of rewards that we're going to have. Some we don't even have any idea what they're going to be. Please turn that down a little bit. I'm echoing. Now, we think of heaven, and a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in heaven. He says, I don't believe in hell. Well, I'm sorry, but the Bible describes heaven as a literal place. We just, if we turn over to John 14, somebody turn over to John 14, 2 for me. Raise your hand if you're going to turn there real quick. Somebody turn to Hebrews 11, 10. And then while you're there, you can turn to Hebrews 11, 16 also. And how about Luke 23, 42 and 43? Luke chapter 23, verse 42 and 43. Who's got John 14, 2? Please read that. So it's described as what? A mansion. What else? Hebrews 11:10. Somebody? Go ahead. And 16?
But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly... I'm sorry, I can't read this letter. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
So it's described as a city. It's described as a country. All right? And Luke chapter 23? Go ahead.
For
so it's also described as a kingdom, a paradise. This is a place that we think of that gives us hope. Titus 2:13. Excuse, yeah, 2:13. Somebody, quick. In verse 14,
gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
So it's called a blessed hope. That place that he, for who? For peculiar people. There ain't much more peculiar people than us. Right? Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We're going to have a new body. We're not going to be plagued with all this aches and pains, as some people say, achy breaky parts. All right? And people sit there and talk about heaven like we're going around the corner. And I'm going, don't you understand? This is something to be excited about. I start to think of heaven. I start to sing of heaven. And, man, I get excited. I just want to jump out of my skin. People, oh, I've heard it so many times. And we have. We've heard it so many times that we get bored with it. How can you get bored with heaven? But we do. We sit there and we, yeah, I've heard that before. Let's move on to something else. And I just, oh my goodness, I don't understand that. Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26 says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Heaven is hope and rest and strength. We are going to leave all this behind and going to be able to just not only rest, but have strength and hope in him. Our hope will be visualized. How many remember when they were a kid, you're going on a vacation? And as I remember, my dad told us, we are going on a vacation. And when we were kids, we didn't have a whole lot of money. So to go to Chautauqua Lake was a big deal. We're going to spend a week on Chautauqua Lake. And he told us this a month before we left. And, man, we're chomping at the bit. And we're looking. I was a little kid. I got my first fishing pole. I wasn't allowed to touch it because he was afraid I was going to break it before I got there. And I understand it. But, man, I wanted to go. I wanted to go now. Come on, I want to try out my fishing rod. I want to try out. I want to get in the water. I want to go swimming. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to. Ah! I'm a little kid. I was ready to burst. And that's the way we should be about heaven. We should be ready to burst. But it's so tiring sometimes to think about. I'm just going to sit there on a cloud and play my harp for the rest of eternity. If that's what you want, fine. There's a lot more I want to do in heaven. There's a lot of people I want to talk to. There's a lot of people I want to meet. You know, I want to talk with Daniel, as I was saying this morning. What was it like there to sit with lions? Man! And to be able to walk out knowing that God had shut the mouths of those lions. What was it like for some of these old-time saints, you know, when Samson? Man, tell me some of the stories. I know they're not, they can't all be there, some of the things Samson did. Right? Is there other things, other people that I want to talk to and know about what they were going through? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 9 through 9. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." People think that that's their job to do today. That I'm going to destroy all the people that don't believe in the way I believe. That's not your job. That's God's job. Our job is to rest. Right? 2 Peter 3:13. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." We're not going to be plagued by sin anymore. All those thoughts that go through our mind when we see and hear things, those aren't going to be there anymore. We're not going to be tempted anymore. That's all going to be gone. We're going to be able to relax. We don't have to be on our guard any longer. We're not going to have to wait and watch for that lion that's roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. We're not going to have to worry about that anymore. We can rest. We can relax. We can take our ease. What a place that's going to be. Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. The things that you do for God will follow you. The things that we've done just for him, not for us, not so we can get a pat on the back, but for him, those things will follow us. And those will be turned into gold, precious jewels that we can lay at his feet. The things that we've done for ourselves, as we've talked about before, will be burned up. We will lose that because we did it for us. Oh, I like this. Revelation 22. Go ahead, turn there. I'm going to go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb, and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We're going to be servants. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We're not going to need the sun anymore. You say, how's that possible? Go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Right? What was the first thing God created? Light. And God said, let there be light. Now, where was the light coming from? Him. All right? The sun wasn't created yet. The stars weren't created yet. So he put all the light in place. It was already there. And he's going to be our light then. There will be no darkness. There will be no shadows there. There won't need to be. Because the light will be perfect light. Will be pure light. And our eyes will be perfect eyes. So we won't be blinded by the light. That's an old song. Everybody thought that, didn't you? But we won't be. Our eyes will be able to handle the light that he gives us. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. There won't be any darkness there anymore. Nothing to hide in. Darkness will be cast out. Darkness in the Bible is a picture of what? Of sin and of judgment. Right? Sin won't be there anymore. Judgment will be gone. Right? We are going to live in perfect light. Do you know God made heaven and he controls it? As we said a minute ago, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Isaiah 42 says, thus saith the Lord, God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and his spirit to them that walketh therein. God controls heaven. He knows exactly what's going on everywhere there and here. Isaiah 65 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a newer, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." What's done here, we're going to forget about it. He's going to wipe it all away. We're not going to have to worry about the things that were done here any longer. All those bad memories that we have. How many have things that you'd rather forget? Every hand. There are things I want to forget. Things that I don't want to remember. One day, we're not going to remember them anymore. Those will be wiped from this earth, from heaven, from everywhere completely. We won't have to think about those things anymore. Jeremiah says, "He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion." Hebrews chapter 1. Turn there. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." God's going to take all that, all this earth, he's going to fold it up, and it's going to be gone. "Thou art the same, thy years shall not fail." God controls everything that's going to go on in heaven and finally here. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven's an inheritance for believers. John says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Romans says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together." For I reckon, I guess he's from the south, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." All this stuff, it's not going to mean a thing. None of the things that we go through here is going to have any significance when we finally see him face to face. Nothing's going to compare with the glory that we shall see when we finally get to heaven. 2 Corinthians verse 12 says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven." And I sat there, and many years I couldn't understand what the third heaven was. Somebody explain the third heaven to me. Go ahead. The place where God dwells. He was actually brought into the presence of God. Right? What a time when we're going to finally reach the third heaven. Right? It's not something we have to work for. We don't have to climb to get there. God's going to take us there in the twinkling of an eye. Right? Whether it's in the rapture or if we have to pass through death. Right? It'll be worth it. No matter what happens, no matter how we die or whether we are taken to heaven, it will be worth it once we get there. We don't understand that now. But it will be. Whatever pain we have to go through, whatever suffering we have to go through, do we want to go through that? No. I am one of these people that is allergic to pain. I don't like pain. Pain tells me something's wrong. I don't like it. But it'll be worth it if I get there at the end, no matter what it is. What a time. 2 Corinthians 12:4, "And how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter." He heard things. Hebrews 11:16 says, now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Edie, you read that, didn't you? For he hath prepared for them a city. We're going to have a city. Somebody tell me, what's the name of the city? New Jerusalem. Do you know how big that's going to be? It's going to be huge. All right, let me turn. I got the numbers here. There we go. Sure. Ah, here. The city, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 16, if you want to turn there. The city lieth four square, and the length as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So it's 12,000 furlongs by 12,000 furlongs by 12,000 furlongs high. You know how big that is? I'm going to show you. A furlong is about one-third of a mile. Put that up, please. See that square? That's 12,000 furlongs by 12,000 furlongs. And picture that. That's roughly 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles tall. That's a city. That's going to be huge. Wow. That's a big city. 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles tall. Does that even register? I mean, we look at places like New York or L.A. or Mexico City as huge cities. But those are little hamlets compared to that. 1,500 miles tall. What floor am I going to? Pardon me. That's a city. That's huge. And that's going to come down out of heaven. Could you imagine seeing that coming down? Wow. That's amazing. At least it is to me. Forgot it's over here. Oh, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by him. Our place is already set aside. We have our name on that, a mansion in that city. It's already got our name written on it. All we have to do is occupy. What a day that's going to be when we finally see heaven. I don't understand people who sit there. I don't want to talk about heaven. I just get tired of listening to it. Really? You better go. That may be. But that's okay. I mean, think of the reward. Think of the reward. Dying ain't so hard. I was telling Pastor Berea, my first pastor, when I was overseas, his wife, sweet lady, took us, a bunch of us sailors in, and we became kind of like her second kids. And she would make us dinners and talk to us when we were feeling miserable, and sweet lady. And they came back to the States. She wound up with cancer. And they went back to Kansas, Gove, Kansas. It's a little town in the middle of just side of nowhere. And he said she was in her in her hospice bed, in her hospital bed, and he was laying next to her one early morning. And he says, "Celia, how you doing?" He says, "I'm okay." And she'd look up, she says, "No, it's not time yet." I says, "Not time for what?" And she says, "I'm fine." And a little while later, she looks and says, "It's not time yet." "Celia, what are you talking about?" "It's not time yet." "It's not time yet." "Okay." And a little while later, "No, it's not time yet." And then he says, about quarter after five, he says, she looks up at the ceiling. She gets this big grin on her face. And she goes, "Oh, wow." And she died with a smile on her face. I believe God gave her a picture of where we're going. He showed her as he came down to take her home what she's got looking forward to. What we've all got looking forward to. That place in heaven. And our Savior waiting to greet us. What a time that will be. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. I can't even begin to explain it. But what a time we're going to have there. And we'll be able to enjoy ourselves for all of eternity. That my mind cannot grasp. Right? I look at it as a math problem. Huh? A plus B equals C, correct? Right? A minus B equals D. There's a symbol in math called infinity. That little symbol. Right? Infinity minus infinity equals what? Infinity. There is no subtracting from eternity. As the song Amazing Grace says, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. It will go on and on and on. Well, won't that be boring? No. No, we won't be bored. There'll be too much to see. We think of all this, our solar system, as Dr. Maria was talking about this morning. And our solar system is one small solar system in a galaxy with billions and billions of solar systems. And our galaxy is one small galaxy in a universe of billions and billions of galaxies. And we're going to be getting a chance to see it all. We'll be able to go everywhere. How can we go everywhere? We're going to be like him. He can go everywhere. He is everywhere. And we're going to be able to do the same thing because we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. What a time that's going to be in heaven. Doesn't that make you want to burst? It does me. It does me. Heaven. I guess you could say it's heavenly. What a time to look forward to. We've only got a short time here. This is just a drop in a huge, 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 huge ocean, our time here. Just a second. Not even a second in eternity. So it's look what we got to look forward to. You should be excited. When you think about heaven, your skin should get goosebumps. Mine does. The hair in the back of my head, there is some back there, by the way, stands up as much as it can. But I do. I get tingly when I sit and think about heaven and everything that's going to happen there. Right? We're all going to come back on horses. I love horses. I can't wait. Some of the things that we are going to experience in heaven can't even be imagined. What a time that's going to be. And the first thing I want to see is my Savior's face. Because I can't thank him enough for allowing me the privilege of being his son, for allowing me the privilege of living with him in heaven and knowing that he loves me. Me, who's no better than dirt, but he loves me and you. If you go back and think of all the things that you did that you know were not pleasing to him, and he's going to say, that's all right. It's over. It's done with. You're not going to remember that anymore. All you're going to have is peace and joy. Rest and strength in him. What a time heaven's going to be. Let's pray. Father, we can't talk enough about heaven. Lord, I've known many people that have gone on before me that are sitting there waiting for their loved ones to join them. And Lord, there's going to be many people that we felt sure are there, and we're going to be disappointed. And many people that we were definitely sure are not going to be there, and we're going to get surprised. Lord, you have control of all that. You know what's going to happen. You know who has accepted you and who has not. Lord, what a day it's be when we finally get to see you and our loved ones again. Lord, we can't thank you enough for giving us that hope, that heaven to look forward to. Lord, I do get goosebumps when I think about what's going to happen. And I just can't wait to see all that there is to see in heaven, to walk those streets of gold, and to sing your praises forever. But you've got a job for us to do here. And you've counted on us to take your word. You've allowed us the privilege of sharing your gospel with others. That's our job. One day it'll be over. But for now, Lord, help us to be faithful as we look forward to that day when we finally see you face to face. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've gotten complacent and bored with heaven, you need to ask God why. If heaven doesn't excite you and doesn't thrill your soul, you need to ask God why not. If the thought of going and seeing your Savior face to face doesn't thrill your soul, you need to ask him why not. And you need to ask him, is it because I really don't know you? And if that's the case, this altar is open for you. Talk to someone. Grab me afterwards. Talk to Victor or John or somebody. And have them explain to you how you can know that heaven's your home. Because he wants you to know. He wants you to know so bad that he went to a cross and submitted himself to beatings and nails and death just for you. Not for just all of us, but for you personally. I can't look into your heart. God can. But God wants you to know that you have a home with him. I pray that today would be the day that you'd get that settled. For those of you that are excited by heaven, sometimes we need to tell our face about it. Because we look so down in the dumps. There's nothing to be down in the dumps about. Because God's got everything in control. And when we get depressed, it's because we're thinking of ourselves instead of Him. I can't think of my Savior and be depressed. I can't think of heaven and be depressed. So if you're getting like that and your day's going bad, think of heaven. Think of your Savior. Talk to Him. And that'll go away. We pray that, God, tonight, that You would look into each heart, that You would lift us up. If there's any here that don't know You, tonight they would get it settled. Lord, if there's any here that are complacent about You and about heaven, Lord, we get that settled too and get that fixed, because it's only through a close relationship with You, Lord, that we actually look forward to seeing You. We pray now, Father, that You would take us home safely tonight, that You would bring us back again. We ask also, Lord, that You would be with our pastor as he's away. Be with him and Cindy as they're on their little vacation. And during this time of their anniversary, we pray that You would lift them up and strengthen them, give them mercies while they're traveling. Lord, bring them back to us refreshed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.